voting is really like a privilege. I mean, a lot of people are dying to get democracies.
This is Louise Thompson. She's a member of the city council in Copenhagen, Denmark, for the Danish Liberal Party.
When I go to vote, I love it. I think it's like so amazing to like come in and you get your paper and you go in and you sit and you do the voting. I just think it's like a really great feeling.
Louise doesn't need encouragement to participate in the democratic debate. And you can tell she's a huge fan of elections.
I just think like the special feeling there is in like the voting hall, and there's like no one is like laughing in the voting hall. I mean, people are serious. This is serious. This is democracy in action. And I just think it's like a really special feeling that you don't get anywhere else.
27-year-old Louise may not be that representative of her generation, though. Amongst the Gen Z, many express a desire to be involved, but that doesn't always guarantee participation. According to a European Parliament Youth Survey from 2021, 85% of people under 30 answered that they discuss politics with friends and relatives, but less than half had voted in the most recent local, national or European elections. So how do we make the young generations of Europe more interested and involved in politics? In this episode, we seek answers to that from three young political minds. I'm Josefine Folkvarts, and you are listening to the Nordic Talks podcast.
I'm 22, and when I'm 22 and I'm in this like adult TV show, then I do also have this sort of responsibility to speak in a way that makes young people also maybe more interested in politics.
This is Emilia Ulias. Like Louise, she's crossed the Baltic Sea to participate in a Nordic Talks event hosted by the Nordic Council of Ministers office in Lithuania. The adult TV show she is talking about is the most popular morning show in Finland. Emilia is the show's political commentator and an EU youth delegate for Finland. She's doing her best to talk about Finnish politics in a way that appeals to young people. But what does it take for politicians to capture the attention of young people? TikTok, maybe?
Last spring, there were these two young men in their 20s approximately who really reached the right audience on TikTok. They really blew up on TikTok, and they reached especially those kinds of young people who wouldn't necessarily vote on previous elections, but they saw these TikTok videos that these two guys made, and then they both got these amazing amounts of votes. We're talking like tens of thousands, which is really a lot in Finland.
From her seat in the Copenhagen City Council, Louise sees a similar trend. Her experience is that the presence of Danish politicians on social media has increased massively in the last 5 years.
I think a lot of time it's like criticize how much politicians are at social media, but at the other hand, it's also important that they are where the young people are. But we have like especially one politician in Denmark, which has been really, really good at activating young people, especially on TikTok. And I mean, some people think that what he is doing is not like real politics, but at the other hand, you can really see that the amount of young people who are voting for him, they're not just voting for him because they think he's funny. They're actually voting for him because he have made them realize that they are actually liberals, that it's actually important for them to decide over their own life and stuff like that.
By joining the TikTok trend to cater for the young audience, there's a risk you end up miscommunicating and turning them off instead. At least if you don't manage to catch the vibe. This is the opinion of the third participant in today's talk, Jovidas Jurdzavages. He's an advisor for a member of the Council of Brienne Municipality in Lithuania, and in recent municipal elections, he stood for mayor of the Brienne district, the youngest candidate in Lithuania's history.
I think the you should not try the, or maybe experiment in the ways of communication that you are not fit for. And we have a very good example of that. I think you should strive to look for what does actually fit you. And you have to know your audience and what's important to them. And then you just have to send the message that as much as relative to them, so you can attract them to your idea, to your voting.
In Denmark, a lot of politicians has tried using social media and TikTok and Instagram videos. But the one person that I talked about, he actually succeeded. And I think what he did right was it was not only funny, it also had like real political messages. And I think what some politicians did wrong was that they were just like trying to be funny. And I think it's nice that that didn't work out because it showed that, okay, it also it needs some political message.
One thing is how politicians reach young people to win their votes. Another thing is how we ignite their interest in getting involved while they're young and still in school. The significance of politics first became apparent to Jovidas during university.
Back in school, if somebody mentions me politics, I would imagine dudes with suits, you know, with the serious faces and just a lot of speeches. But what they taught us in the university is that how politics actually affects my life. Like, how is it not just some posh, fancy place to work in, but actually it's an idea. It's an opportunity for me to build my own livelihood. So, because all the decisions that are made in the legislation, in the local councils, they affect our environment. They affect basically how we live. So I think it's very important that people would start to understand that as soon as possible, and that should be taught in schools, that politics is not some idea for money laundering and stuff like that, some shady stuff. It's about the civic responsibility, and politics is the things that we should be all proactive, because through politics we create the our living environment.
Actually, Louise's home country of Denmark has already introduced a way for young people to experience participating in democracy.
In Denmark, we have a new thing at the public school where we have like a school election. So we have like 1 week every second year where all the youth parties of the political parties go to the schools, and then they have like political debates. And then at the end of the week, all the people in the 7th, 8th and 9th grade, they actually get to vote. And then we have like national elections that's in television. So people kind of try to vote before they're able to vote in the real election. And I think that has been really, really good.
And that has several advantages, Louise thinks. For instance, it adds nuances to the mainstream media's depiction of politicians being all tough talk and arguments.
When we actually go to the schools, to the high schools, get to talk to people, they are like, okay, you are actually also just normal people. I mean, we are not so like, we're actually really good friends. We are not yelling at each other. And we can show them that we're actually just normal, nice people. And they don't have to be like, oh, every politician is just bad. We don't want to vote.
Emilia nods and agrees.
I think it's definitely a good idea to bring more politics into schools. And by saying that, I mean more like party politics, not in the curriculum, you know, as in whoever's in the government decides what's being taught. Of course not. But I mean exactly maybe the way that Louise just told about her parties going to universities and like telling the young people what they do and what they think about these political matters. I think that especially party politics can be very unappealing to young people, mostly when you say something about party politics, the first thought that comes to mind is that there's just polarizing and everyone's just yelling at each other and no one's doing anything important, when in reality it's not as much yelling as it maybe seems to outside. There's quite a lot of movement in the like youth political sphere in Finland discussing whether we should lower the age of voting.
Finland is not alone in that discussion. In the European election coming up in June 2024, Belgium, Germany, Malta and Austria will allow their citizens to vote from the age of 16. And in Greece, the voting age is 17. Norway experimented with lowering the voting age to 16 in the municipal elections in 2011. Youth were granted the right to vote in 20 of Norway's municipalities. And the results revealed more engagement and a higher voter turnout among 16-year-olds compared to their slightly older counterparts. Drawing on experiences from Finland, Emilia thinks there are both pros and cons to a younger voting age.
I'm actually not sure. Of course, it would be good that the people would get this sort of like going to voting, like it would become like a thing, like natural thing for them. The 16-year-olds are still in school, so maybe schools could encourage them to go vote and that sort of thing. But then on the other hand, well, we also have these like youth elections in Finland. We call them like shadow elections. And in those elections, there's always one number that gets the most amount of votes, and it's always 69, so everyone here can probably figure out what that means.
Jovidas thinks this kind of immaturity can be handled. The key is, he thinks, to ensure that young people feel that their opinions and actions matter.
As soon as people would be taught that, as soon as they would start to understand that, actually, I should care about these things because they affect, like, if my street next to my house is going to be, like, of the gravel or the asphalt, you know. For example, if we get enough of the signatures. So, for example, if they understand how important the politics is, not things about the dudes in suits, but things of politics as a way to create your own home, your own living environment. And if they can relate to that, if they can care about that, I think the age is the least important factor. I think you can be 15, you can be 16. If you care actually about the things that shape your environment, you will do some research and you'll try to pick or vote responsible because you don't want to live in an unfriendly environment, I would say.
I'm against lowering the voting age. It's 18 in Denmark. I think it's here too. And I think that is the right age. I think it makes sense that you go to vote when you're also able to have your own bank account, to buy your own house, to drive a car, when you are grown up, when you are an adult. And I think if you say that 16s should vote, then you kind of also say to them that they should take more responsibility in a way in their own life, but they're also still children, and I think it's okay to be children.
According to Louise, there are a lot of things you can do to awaken young people's interest and involvement in politics. For example, school elections and youth councils.
In a lot of city councils in Denmark, you have like a youth council where you also run for election and get voted, and then you can say your opinion on all the matters which are related to the youth. And I think that's a better way to go. And also when then people turn 18, then they are adults and then they get all the full responsibility and then they can vote.
How about more extreme measures? In Belgium and Australia, voting at elections is compulsory. If you don't vote, you get fined.
I think we have a couple of examples where punishing people does not actually always work because they try to protest. In this case, yeah, we can fine people, but on the other hand, they can go and just vote for Chuck Norris for president. And what does that give us? I think it's nothing. So in my case, if we look from the right school of thought, where you do not blame the environment, you blame the individual, I think it's very important that the people themselves would be more aware and more motivated to go to vote. So education and building public awareness, I think the two things that we should focus on if we want more people to get to vote.
I'm not completely against it, but I am a bit against it. Like, if you have to do something, that's not the best motivator. Like, we all know that. Also, I think, well, is it better that there's like 70% who vote, who actually like pay some attention to who they vote, or if there's the also the rest of like rest of the population who vote because they don't want to get fined, and then they go to the voting booth and be like, okay, one, two, three, which one of these should I take?
I am very, very, very much against that. I mean, I think that would be really awful, actually, because I think like voting is, of course, it's a responsibility, but it's also an opportunity. And I mean, I also like the fact that people actually just give one thought about who they're actually voting for. I mean, I think you could also end up in some where the politicians actually end up taking some extreme measures to get the people who just vote because they don't want to get the fine. Then, okay, then you vote for the funny one or something like that.
So maybe punishment has its challenges, but how about encouragement and incentives then?
In the last parliamentary elections in spring, actually, especially if we're talking about how we can get more young people to vote, my university actually did this kind of campaign that if you voted, you could go to the school cafeteria and get like the cinnamon bun for free. So that was an encouragement, definitely.
I'm not a big fan of that either, actually. We have that at my university at the Copenhagen Business School because we want people to vote for the school election there, and then you get like a free cup of coffee. I think that's okay. You have a voter turnout of 10% or something. I mean, people don't care about it. But I just think like when you vote for like city council or the national parliament, you should vote because you feel like there's something that there's someone who is representing what you think. Or at least like just on one matter. I mean, you don't have to know everything about them, but I think you have to pay some kind of thought to who you're voting for. And I mean, voting is really like a privilege. I mean, a lot of people are dying to get democracies. So I just feel like voting should be enough by itself. And I don't think there should be any fines, and I don't think there should be any gifts either.
As Louise says, voting is a privilege we must not take for granted. I personally experienced this firsthand while living in the UK. Being a Danish citizen, I could only vote in the UK local elections, not the national ones. And that's despite living in the country for over a decade. This has made me appreciate my right to vote in my home country so much more. So my advice is to go vote. Use this important opportunity to impact the world in a positive way and remember the many people across the world that will never have this chance. We should also appreciate people like Louise Jovidas and Emilia that involve themselves in politics. Their efforts are important. They make our choices and our voices count. I'm Josefine Folkvarts. Thank you for listening to the Nordic Talks podcast. Be sure to follow Nordic Talks on LinkedIn and find more information on upcoming events, new podcast episodes, and much more. I'm Josefine Folkvarts. Thanks for listening.